I'll see a lot of interesting ideas about motivation and about just being an IT pro in government on your blog, and I commend it to people. I have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com. What are some of the things that you think good managers should avoid doing so they don't drain the good people that they have on staff?
The subject of what managers should avoid doing is a great question. And based on a recent Harvard Business Review article, here are four that resonate with me. Mistake number one is that managers seem to listen to what employees have to say, but they don't really take their suggestions seriously. The second mistake is that they don't assign clear roles and responsibilities. The result is that people don't know who's accountable for what. Third is wasting employees' time. There is nothing more frustrating to a person than when a manager has them spin their wheels on something that will never be used. Finally, it is especially important to explain shifts in strategy and priorities so employees know what is changing and why. In short, if you want employees to feel motivated, then you have to treat them like human beings and not like chess pieces.
Why is that hard, do you think, for the IT pros at agencies to do? Because what you're talking about is important. I don't mean to denigrate it, but it seems like it's just good, basic, managerial, common sense type stuff.
It is, and it really all comes down to one thing, a sense of purpose that people need. And the first part of this has to do with their work. Employees need to know that their work really does contribute to the mission, that it is useful and usable. And the second has to do with employees as individuals. It's about helping the employee feel that they will personally grow and be challenged as a result of working for you and the organization. Of course, a good compensation package doesn't hurt either.
You know, that it's interesting that you put that the non money elements, the non compensation elements ahead, because we're doing all of this to and fro about the pay and benefits packages and the challenges that federal employees are feeling and the angst that is building around all of these things. And yet there's survey after survey in the HR field that says that employees are not necessarily connected to their employers only by the compensation package. It's actually more the elements that you're talking about.
That's absolutely right. I mean, there's a number of, you know, famous psychologists and theorists, you know, over the years, such as Frederick Hertzberg and Abraham Maslow and others that have theorized and done studies on this. And there are satisfiers and dissatisfiers. You know, not having adequate salary and benefits, those are serious things. People need to be able to pay their mortgage and take care of their families and things like that. And those are considered dissatisfiers that if we don't take care of our workforce, you know, they will be dissatisfied. At the same time, there are things that are called satisfiers or motivators, and those are the things that have to do with employees feeling that they have a purpose and a mission and that they can accomplish something in their job. And those things will actually cause people to feel productivity increases in the workplace.
All right, you've got six steps listed in this blog post, which I love the title of, Hooray for Motivation. it gave me kind of an up with people vibe. Especially with the graphic that you put up there. But I want to ask you about some of these six steps that good managers should be taking to keep their people motivated. The first one is make the meaning explicit. Tell me what you mean there.
Well, I think it really starts with, you know, we have to visualize the end state. And in order to do that, we have to be able to, as leaders and managers, articulate a compelling vision, a clear set of goals, and why they're important for the organization. That gets back to the mission. And disciplines like enterprise architecture planning and things like that can be invaluable in this area.
All right. The second one I really like because it hits on something that I think people get hung up on negatively a lot. Determine strengths and weaknesses of each employee and capitalize on their strengths while at the same time coach, mentor, and train to the weaknesses. I talked to an HR expert once that told me we spend way too much time trying to help people get better at the things that they're not good at, and maybe the ceiling for that is mediocrity without spending enough time developing and cultivating what people are really, really super good at.
And I believe the same. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, people, I believe, are happy doing what they're good at. And we need to empower them and let them excel at those things, but at the same time, give them stretch goals and, you know, let them, try new things at the same time.
The analogy that I heard once was Cal Ripken was a great baseball player, so it didn't make sense to spend a whole lot of time teaching him how to necessarily become a great golfer. The best use of his time was to develop his skill as a baseball player and turn into a Hall of Famer.
Like specialization of labor.
Yeah, exactly. Your third one, when workers go off track, be able to give them constructive feedback and suggestions for improvement without demeaning or demoralizing them. I think that one stands pretty well on its own. Find the inner strength and self-confidence not to be threatened by your employees who do a good job. That one's really hard for some folks in managerial positions, isn't it?
Yeah, we have to be strong. You know, I really believe sort of in the Jack Welch philosophy on this from General Electric. You know, you want to surround yourself with the best and the brightest and not be intimidated by doing that, because if you develop a great team around you, you're all going to excel, and you shouldn't be threatened by people doing well.
Your fifth one is to recognize the importance of everyone's contributions, and again, I think that one stands on its own. The last one is seemingly self-evident but is difficult to actually execute, and that's to be a team and communicate honestly and openly. And I imagine that honestly and openly part is really the key there.
Exactly. You know, this goes back to sort of the OpenGov directive, which has been big in the administration the last couple of years. But the whole notion of transparency and the power of sharing information, information is power. It's more powerful when we share it than when we hoard it.